Avos Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph 5:1, and the start of the fifth Perek. This is structured a little different than the previous Prakim. Here we pretty much, for most of the Perek, don't have a particular Tana giving his piece of advice. Instead, what you have are statements that are revolving around numbers, 10, 7, 4, and without any specific Tana being attributed with the source of this teaching. We'll actually lapse back at the very end of the Perek. But in any case, so we start with the tens over here. Now this Mishnah, let me read it to you first, and then we'll take it from the top down. So it says, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. The world is created with 10 statements. Umata malomar, what's that coming to teach us? Valo ba'amar echad yachol lihibaros. Hashem could have created the world with one statement, so why is it important for us to know that it was 10? Ela lihipara min harishayim. It's for the sake of being able to have extra retribution against the wicked. Shema abdina sa'olam. Shenivra ba'asara ma'amaros. They destroy the world that was created with 10 statements. Velitan sachar leto, excuse me, velitan sachar tov letzadikim. And to give a good, let's call it extra reward, if you will, to the righteous, shemekayim nesa'olam, shenivra ba'asara ma'amaros, who uphold the world which was created with 10 statements. Okay, so this mission really raises two questions, and then we need two principles to understand the answer. So the two questions that it's raising is, number one, okay, we have this tradition that there are 10 statements with which the world is created, but A, why couldn't Hashem do it with one statement? And B, why is this important for us to know? I mean, why should we care about this? In other words, there's so much that Hashem did in creating the world that we don't know about. There's no mention of it, and it just, you know, is not essential to us knowing. But this, it seems important that we know that there were 10 statements, so why? Now, to answer that those two questions, I think you have to establish two basic principles here in the approaching the Mishnah. The first is, the purpose of this Mishnah, like all the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, are to teach us midos tovos, to give us musar. Okay, it's to get a person's musar and hashkafa straight, and it's not here to teach us esoterica, you know, the mystical sides of the Torah, something like that, although most of the, let's call it the literature, if you will, the Chazal around the 10 statements are going to revolve around sort of Kabbalistic ideas, these Eser Sfiros and so on. But that's not the point of our mission. The mission here is we're learning this and we're looking for some kind of moral teaching. So what's the moral lesson to be taken away from this piece of information? And the second principle we need to understand, I think, is the general notion that the Torah has of the number 10. Okay, we're going to go through 10s here. The idea of 10 here is, and the Torah in general, is a complete system. And a system means that you have a bunch of component pieces which work together in harmony to make something which is more significant than the individual pieces not working in harmony. So it's an emergent property that comes out of these things working together. So, you know, if you take if you make a watch out of 10 pieces, okay? Let's say, it doesn't matter any points, a watch made out of, you know, called springs. So if you have the springs sitting on the table, just a bunch of springs, if you assemble them in just the right way, then they do something which is more than just what springs do. They can tell the time, okay? But that requires all of the component pieces to be working in harmony. And if even one spring stops working, then you don't have a watch anymore. You might call it a broken watch, but a broken watch is just the same as, you know, a bunch of springs on a table. It doesn't do anything more than just be a spring. Okay, so it has to be that they all function together to create this emergent property that the system can create. And the notion of 10, really throughout Torah Hashkafa, is this notion of something which is bigger than the individual parts. That's why you have 10 people for a minion. That's why you have, 10 statements for creating the world. You have the Aseret HaDibros, which Chazal look at as being the system, like, you know, the Rav Sadia, for example, puts all Targ Mitzvahs into those 10. So Avram Avinu wanted 10 tzaddikim for, you know, to save Sodom, etc., etc. 10 is a notion of there's something that is more than just an individual. It's a system working together which can create something which an individual or a bunch of individuals working alone cannot. Okay, so with those principles, I think we can understand the mission in general. Let's just go through it word by word, and we'll start with this statement, Basara Ma'amaros, these 10 statements. We have to get a little technical for a moment, if you want to just really drill down on the Mishnah, and see which 10 statements are we talking about. So if you go back to Bereishis, you will see that the Vayomer Hashem comes up 10 times in the story of Bereishis. I'll read them to you really quickly. It's Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rakia. The first one is let there be light. The second one, Hashem said, let there be the sky, the firmament. The third is Vayomer Elokim Yikavo Amayim Mitachas Hashemayim, let the waters gather together. The fourth is Vayomer Elokim Tadsha Aretz Desha, let the vegetation grow. The fifth is Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ma'oros Barakia, let there be like the luminaries, the stars, and the sun and the moon in the sky. The sixth is Vayomer Elokim Yishatzu Hamayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya, let the waters teem with life. The seventh is Vayomer Elokim Totze Haaretz Nefesh Chaya Lamina Behema Varemes V'chayaso Haaretz Eretz Lamina, let the animal life proliferate on the earth. The eighth is Vayomer Elokim Nasa Adam B'tzalmenu Kedmusenu, let us make man in our image and likeness. The ninth is, now, okay, so that's those eight, Evan agrees, are on the list. Now, there are two more here, which are not universally agreed upon the blog list, but they're certainly a psukim that say Vayomer. One of them is, Vayomer Elokim, Hine Nasati Lechem Es Kol Esev Zorea Zera. Here I'm, Hashem, this is a partial pasuk, but Hashem is saying, I'm giving you all of the plant life for you to eat. Then the pasuk goes on to say, Asher al Pnei Kol Arts, Es Kol Eitz, Asher Bo, Pri Eitz, Zorea Zera, Lachem Ye La'achla. That's for you to eat, all the vegetation, the plant life, and the fruits. That's the ninth time. And the tenth time, again, which not everyone agrees belongs to the list of ten, is Vayomer Hashem Elokim. Here we have a slightly different thing. It's not Vayomer Elokim, but Hashem Elokim. Yudke Vavke. Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. It's not good for man to be alone. Es Alo Ezer Kenegdo. I'll make for the person, the Adam, an Ezer Kenegdo, whatever that means, a wife opposite him. So those are the 10 statements. Now, the thing is, good, you have 10 statements, but as I mentioned, the last two are not universally agreed upon because we have another tradition. The tradition is that the first of the 10, if you will, is precedes the Bereshis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Es HaAretz, the creation of the universe itself. And although there's no explicit mention of Hashem making a ma'amar of saying something, that's because before Hashem created anything, well, there was nothing at all, if you will, not even a universe. And Amira, the act of speaking or communicating, sort of requires something or someone on the other side of the communication. So until there's a Bria, Hashem wouldn't like say to anything because there's nothing to say it to. Something like that. That's one approach. There are different approaches to explain what it means. But that's an approach. So once you have the Bereshis, or preceded Bereshis as being the first of the 10, then you have the problem is now you have essentially have 11. So which is the 10th? So the last two I told you are a little... are both not like the other ones. They're not like Hashem created something directly. Notwithstanding, the Gra holds the 10th one is exactly the ninth one in sequence, meaning Vayomer Elokim, Hine Nasati Lechem Es Kol Esev Zorea Zera. I'm giving you now all the vegetation, la'achla, to eat. And he understands that, and the notion is, as you see like from the Ruach Chaim, his Talmud talks about how these 10 statements really have to do with like the chaining down from, let's call it the most spiritual to the least spiritual, if you will, process, going back to those 10 spheres in truth. But the point is, the last of the 10 stages is now getting to the nitty-gritty of planet Earth and Olam HaSi, the world of action here in life, where people eat, very physical. So that's the Graz approach, what the 10th one is. And the others, Rashbats, others learned that the Midrashim had the 10th one being, they leave that one off the list, and instead they have Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado, Es Alo Ezer Kenegdo. Hashem says, not good for man to be alone as a single person. He should be a couple, a pair, and therefore he'll create the Chava to be with him also. And that's how many others learn that that's the 10th one. So those are the 10. Okay, that's just a technicality, but I think worth speaking out here. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say, Uma Talmud Lomar, so that is saying, so what is this coming to teach us? And again, the question here is what moral lesson, as Pirkei Avos is going to do, what is this teaching us in terms of Musar, of Ashkafa, not the Kabbalistic stuff. Vahalo, and now reads the second question. B'mamar echad yuchol libaros. Hashem is all-powerful, of course. And if he wants to, he could have very easily created the world with just one statement. So what is the idea behind having a 10-statement world, not a one-statement world? To make it that the Rishayim, who don't conform to Hashem's plan, they'll be punished not just for their own actions, but for the fact they destroyed a world which is created with 10 utterances, 10 statements. The idea here being that a world made of 10 statements means a world that is a complex world where everything is interconnected and interdependent. We're all a bunch of springs working together to make this watch, metaphorical watch, so to speak. So if the, just the same way if one spring stops functioning, the whole watch stops to work, which means like every spring is essential. And if the spring does its job, then like it's responsible for the whole thing working. And if it doesn't do its job, it's responsible for the whole thing not working. So too when it comes to the Rishayim and the Tzadikim. The Rasha who does the wrong thing and doesn't conform to Hashem's plan and do his role in creation, it's not just that he's done something bad to himself. He's now held accountable for the whole system not working. The system of Olamazeh requires us all to participate, and the Rasha who's not participating, he's messed things up for everybody. And therefore, the consequences are, it's bigger than himself. He's responsible for the whole world being a mess. There are consequences to his actions, and he causes the ramifications of his bad behavior, his bad choices, his choosing Ra, and so on, will spill over to everyone losing out. Therefore, he's held accountable for all of that. On the flip side, the good news is that the tzaddikim, so they're also sort of each of us who do the right thing, so we get the credit also for not just doing the right thing on our own lonesome for ourselves privately, but also that we actually are, without us, the world wouldn't get where it had to go. So we have a claim and a credit for the entire success of the world. And therefore the idea is, this is a 10-statement world, not a one-statement world. It's a world of interdependence, and your actions are much more far-reaching than just your own private choices and your private activity, your private rewards and consequences. You have a knock-on effect of what you do affects the whole world for good or for bad, and therefore the reward and punishment you get will be based on the consequences, not just your limited actions that affect yourself, but also how they are essential for the success of the whole Bria. Now, one last point I should just speak out here. This notion has some, it crops up its head in actual, some real halacha l'maisa places. You'd be surprised. I think most notably, on Rosh Hashanah, which is the anniversary of the creation of Adam HaRishon, who was the tachlis of Bria, the purpose of creation, which is what we're getting over here. Right, in fact, the last psukim about Adam Rishon, of course, at the end of it. So we say verses of Malchuyos, Zichronos, and Shofros, and L'chakhid have 10 verses of each, as we do in our Siddur, in Musaf there. And the reason why we have 10 specifically is because it recalls that these 10 utterances that Hashem made to create the world, we're calling back to that, because that's exactly, as I just spoke about before, that's what we're buying into. We're buying into Hashem's vision that we want to be part of the system. Hashem is the Melech, and we want to be the Kli, the utensil, like the spring that does exactly what it's supposed to do to help the world get to its completion. And therefore, we recall that when we do the Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. And the truth is, every time there's a Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays and Thursdays as well, so you're supposed to read 10 Psukim in total between the three Aliyahs, and that number 10 comes from both the Seres HaDibros, the 10 commandments, which really parallel the Asara Marmaros, the 10 statements that Hashem made to create the world, sort of in a very related kind of way.